And now on CJC, Chattlebots.
Hello there and welcome to Chattlebots. My name is Chris, I like robot combat, and I'm with three other people who also like robot combat. Those people are Duke, who I'm convinced is actually Chad Warden in real life. We've got Beav, who is an ever-present in every robot combat Discord server I've ever been on, and Doot, who is here.
Hello.
So these three are going to be helping us in navigating through this absolute hellscape of a podcast, as we do every episode. And to start things off, as we do every episode, we're going to talk about the bot of the week. The bot of the week is a robot that I like. And if you don't like it, fuck you. Yes, it's a Brit flipper, but it's one of my favorite Brit flippers. Blah, 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 blah. It's Apollo, the Series 8 champion. So, do we have any strong opinions about Apollo? Anybody?
I do like Apollo, yes.
Apollo is pretty cool, yeah.
I do quite like it. It's what a bulky fucker, as far as I'm concerned.
It's a big fella.
Yeah.
It's a massive boy. So the thing is about Apollo, I say while trying to get the Robot Wars Wiki article up, is that it wasn't always Apollo. Like the scar livery, the black and white, it was never initially that. It is I guess an evolution from an older bot, which had been around in Robot Wars since Series 4 in the new millennium, and it was Chronic the Wedgehog. Obviously, when you look at the first incarnation of Chronic the Wedgehog, it looks absolutely nothing like Apollo, but in later incarnations, you start to see like, that is Apollo. And obviously, if you have any knowledge of the live scene and the endless roaming robots events, you'll know that Chronic in its live scene form was very much Apollo but blue.
Well, I mean, of course, it was a bit more than that. It was a two-time champion way back in the early 2010s. Oh, yeah. So
take that, Apollo, you're only one-time champion.
Washed up.
Already. Yeah, the one thing I do regret that Apollo never took from Chronic was, of course, Chronic's Series 5 name, Chronic 2, Ellipsis. Yeah.
Chronic.
I think they could have benefited from adopting that.
Well,
Apollo,
Apollo,
honestly, I can see that. So I was a fairly new fan by the time that the reboot came around. So of course, like, that is pretty much my personal era. So when Apollo's Deep first aired, and it was billed as this robot that could flip things so high into the air, and it was this, and of course it was the big flipper of the show, I fully bought into it, and then it turned out that it was very much a flipper of the show. But I distinctly remember that I nicked it as something that could be the champion. So it was quite a surprise when, of course, the final airs, and it turns out Apollo ends up defeating Carbide in a massive slugfest, and it ends up just absolutely through the competition. It was quite impressive.
I think of the kind of three big flippers that were in that first season. So obviously TR2 is kind of the lesser of them all, the least powerful. Apollo, it's more powerful. It certainly seems a lot less refined than Eruption. So it has weird bounce of temperamentality. And it's quite unlucky to face a lot of spinners. So it takes quite a lot of damage. But I think certainly for that first season, Apollo was the ideal kind of flipper on to have, because it was quick, it was powerful, very flashy, and obviously the team behind it, they put a lot of premium on entertainment, obviously, quite famously, going for all of the house robots.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, no, it's okay, go on.
Who goes first?
All right. So, yeah, as far as Apollo's concerned for me. I've always found Apollo quite an interesting case because it evolved from Chronic, initially meant to be a 2015 competitor in BattleBots, but was more relegated to sort of reserve status. Ultimate, ironically, I bought Beta, if I remember rightly. Was it?
Yeah.
Beta?
It did.
Yeah,
Beta. Funny
thing is, I never pegged Apollo to really go through Series 8 the way it did. I think I had it as best heat finalists. Eruption, that was a bot very well established at that point. Michael Oates, very much a good driver in the live events. Taking aims, you know, that type of thing. I think I put Apollo as second best at that point. So I thought it'd be quite potent. It was sort of that powerful machine, but it was very inconsistent as well. It sort of lumbered through its seat awkwardly, didn't it?
Mm. The thing I found so interesting about Apollo, especially, you know, trying to hark back to when I was actually watching the reboot, excited as hell that Robot Wars was coming back, was like, Apollo wasn't the standout robot for that series.
Yeah.
At least in the heat-wise, it was Carbide, because, like, Carbide was, like, you know, the first big hitting robot that we'd seen in the new era, and it, you know, garnered a lot of fans very quickly and pretty much immediately became the favorite to win the title. And yes, Apollo did flip some house robots. Like, I think a lot of us at the time thought, oh, you know, it'll be close, but I think Carbide will win the whole thing. You know, there's nothing really stopping it. So the fact that Apollo did what it did and won the final and beat Carbide and became Series 8 champion, I think sort of baffles me in a way, because it's like, how the fuck did that happen? I think a lot of us were obviously rooting for Apollo because it's like they're the fun ones. They're all bouncy and jumpy and enthusiastic, and, you know, we love our flippers, so we're always going to be, you know, more than happy to give them our support.
But I mean, of course, like when Apollo was, of course, like being introduced, their whole thing was that they were the entertainers, they were the boy band of the show, kind of like that was their whole deal, and it kind of transferred itself onto the robot, which led to the house thing, which then led to them becoming a bit of a household name. So it all just kind of worked from that, and here they are as one of the like fan favorite teams of the reboot era.
You go ahead, mate.
No worries. The house robots are definitely one of the big iconic moments of the Robot Wars series. Because even when it was sort of awkwardly clunking around as it usually was, it just had that extreme amount of power behind it. You knew it was sort of that sort of championship contender, but it was still having to deal with those gremlins initially, mainly with its drive, because its first fight, it had a wheel ripped out by PP3D initially. I do find it funny of what would happen if Apollo didn't actually make it through the opening melee, because it was very much crippled and it sort of luck shotted out, can open a J-Specs link when it just threw it over. And also Sweeney Todd existed, but we don't talk about that.
Yeah, I feel like that heat just becomes significantly sadder if it's can opener moving on. Like, that's just...
Storm 2 heat finalists. Let's go. The first heat of the heat in Series 8 is as said very strange, but it's very strange because they are quite lumbering and quite awkward. But I mean, if you look at the reboot era, is basically the Carbide and Eruption story, and Apollo gets quite lucky in that Eruption isn't. Well armored enough yet to stand up to something like PP3D, and Carbide isn't reliable enough to last an entire series of fights. So in that sense, Apollo was really kind of able to kind of snake its way through to the air championship.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, then once you get to Series 9, you realize, oh, wait, hang a second. Apollo's really outclassed against something that can just smash through a series like Carbide.
I mean, everything. Yeah, I think it's more that everything was outclassed by Carbide in Series 9.
Yes, Apollo was sort of kind of unlucky in a weird sense as well, because it kind of got drowned in the melee with Eruption, a bot that had already beaten it prior, and Aftershock, which was sort of the new hotness, so as to speak, in the Series 9 final. And then all the crap of a flipper happened, and if I remember rightly, didn't Apollo get a hit, or was it something else? I might be confused with something
yes,
else.
Yes, it got stuck in a floor plate and hit from behind by Aftershock.
Ah, yeah, that's it. And they just couldn't really recover from that, because that was really terminal damage. I think it took it dug into a drive pod, if I remember. And that just sort of tripled the match.
Yeah, I mean, it's Series 9 run is just... I think the best way to sum it up is just sad.
Because obviously, like, apart from Carbide, every other opponent it went up against is weren't sort of challenges for Apollo. You know, it's like Coyote.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I do love Coyote, but like, it's not being Apollo.
my notes for all the other fights in this heat read, nothing to say, Coyote a non-factor, very uncompetitive.
That
feels
nice.
Rough, but yeah.
And also Crackers and Smash, shout out to my boy Dave Weston.
Dave Weston, the absolute goat of this scene. I love him so much. Even that fight, that is a sad fight, because of course, like, when it's Apollo versus two Clusterbots, you would expect Apollo to be just like throwing them out over the massive high walls, but it can't even do that this time around because they're just that low. So you're just kind of like, well, actually, what's the point of this right now? Why are we watching this champion just struggle and then just get completely outclassed by, of course, the robot that it's already fought four times?
Poor Apollo, man.
Yeah.
Crackers and Smash just never had a chance really against Apollo, and I think I really managed a couple flips. I know he actually managed to snipe Dead Metal Saw with one of the bots as well, off the top of my head. But it wasn't really getting those mega flips you'd expect to. Maybe it was sort of too low. Maybe it was just a bit too heavy to really get over, as we'd see soon enough. But it didn't really feel like the Apollo you'd expect to have had from Series 8.
Now, if you think the Series 9 run was depressing, wait until you see Series 10. It didn't start out depressing, because they obviously had that amazing Uta on one of the Swarm. I think it was a rubber duck that went flying. And that's obviously an all-timer moment in Robot Wars. And, you know, shout out to the Youngs. They knew what they were doing. And
Talk about uncompetitive melees. The Swarm and Apocalypse is... there's no way they didn't put that together not expecting Apollo to just throw one of them like basically from the middle of the arena outwards. Matchmaking by the producers there.
They absolutely did that on purpose. I can almost imagine it, like, it's like, oh, let's put all the mini bots in front of this massive flipper. Are we hilarious?
It reminds me a lot of how they did the same thing with the Creepy Crawlies, well enough, against Son of Waiachi. Just deliberately knew they wanted to have some mega hits. The only difference was it was sort of mega flips instead, and they at least got that, quarter away there anyway.
Watts family and getting fed to the slaughter, him a more iconic duo.
I think the thing that I love about the Uta that Apollo did to that member of the Swarm is just that it feels very, very casual. Because it's just a single wide shot, and of course you just see Apollo just like tossing it out, and that's just all of the kind of like gravitas that it gets.
Yeah.
So it just feels like Sho is almost saying just like, yeah, okay, you expected this. Watch it fly. All right, then, now back to the fight.
Yeah, I mean, we got JP going like, it flew! It literally flew! And it made for a nice little social media gif. One of the, like, one of like five total Robot Wars reboot gifs. It had a fight with Sabretooth and it won. I remember that fight.
I rewatching it, it was pretty much perfect from Apollo. Obviously, with its kind of slanted sides, the Sabretooth 2 drum wasn't going to catch anything. But yeah, Apollo just kind of bosses it around and then ooters it very clean.
How Sabretooth 6 was. I keep calling Sabretooth by its name, but yeah, I think, wasn't it sort of a bit lucky because Sabretooth was still sort of reeling at some points? It wasn't really in perfect straights off the top of my head.
Potentially, because if you look at the 10 Robot Rumble, that's when Sabretooth's kind of working as it should. And I think it does like throw Apollo off a couple times. So yeah, this fight could have been like a lot more interesting had Sabretooth been working fully. I feel like it's like still an Apollo win, but I feel like I think it has to work for it a lot more.
Yeah.
The
Behemoth fight is,
yeah,
this is one of those fights that must have happened 100 times on the live circuit, and Apollo probably won 90 of them. But no, those big long sides that Behemoth can just run right into.
Yeah,
beautiful. I love Apollo, and I always will, and it'll always have a special place in my heart, but like, we needed that Anthony Pritchard redemption arc after all the Absolutely. Shit he got on social media. You know, with everyone screaming and saying like, oh, he stormed off because he lost to some kids.
Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely something that we needed. And of course, like, I'll try not to harp on about it too much because, of course, we will get Behemoth at some point in the future, hopefully.
Absolutely.
But this fight, this is my personal favorite fight in at least Robot Wars, if not all of Robot Combat. This is the fight that, once it finished, I genuinely stood up from my chair and I screamed because I was just that excited that Behemoth finally won a heat. Yeah, this fight means so much to me, and I love every second of it. It is an incredible fight to watch. The shock ending is just out of this world. Just like, you just don't see it coming until like the last seconds in which you realize, hang on a second, Behemoth's going to do it. Oh my God, it did it. Oh, it won. Like, it is a moment that you just don't get in any other show, I think. And I think, without wishing to harp on about it, The Pit does kind of contribute massively towards that.
Yes. That one, it's such an iconic KO as well, because it very much goes sort of somewhat equally. Sorry. Because Apollo's definitely sort of getting the upper hand at certain points. You just see him throwing Behemoth around. And also more of a bit where they're just crawling up the window as well because there were blind spots, which wasn't fixed.
That scene is so ridiculous. Like, yeah. Oh my God, how do you build an arena that badly?
And then suddenly you just sort of get Behemoth, get that last little surge and just absolutely punt Apollo from behind, just lob it into the pit spectacularly. And the cheering, oh, that was brilliant. It was...
The direction, the camera direction in Series 10, I thought was a big step up with the fact that, you know, occasionally it would cut to Angela and Dara reacting. I thought that gave the entire show like a much needed breath of fresh air. And seeing them react to Apollo being pitted and then cutting immediately to Pritchard popping off in the booth, just brilliant.
It reminds me a bit of sort of how BattleBots would do when it cut to Kenny and Chris sort of being excited about stuff.
Yeah.
In a weird sense. It gave it that bit more soul that the modern reboot was kind of struggling with in a weird sense.
Mm.
It kind of felt like they're a part of it more
I think the fact that BattleBots does a fantastic job of cutting towards the teams and Chris and Kenny and then reacting to whatever's happening in front of them is like one of the best things about Robot Combat. Like, you know, the example I like to use is the Cobot and Minotaur fight. I'll try not to go on about it too much, but like the immediate cutting towards the Minotaur team celebrating, John Maladnik coming in and celebrating with them, and then Daniel Freitas screaming, and then suddenly they're all running across down the crowd and giving people high fives. Like, that is what it's all about. And I wish, you know, we saw it even with like the Panic Attack team celebrating their win against Cassius. You know, those little moments of pure joy when winning a fight is, I think, you know, something that other competitions, if they're being directed by a camera crew, should lean into more often. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, just keep it up. Apollo would do the 10 robot rumble. It would not win the 10 robot rumble, as well as 8 other robots who would also not win the 10 robot rumble. One of the last spots to be immobilized, if I remember correctly.
I think
Apollo and Eruption were clearly the two best robots in that rumble, I'd say.
Yeah.
And I mean, how fitting is it that of the two, it's Eruption that kind of hangs back and just goes full, not everything deserves a reaction. Sometimes you just got to sit back and observe, while Apollo's, yeah, like from second one, going off, flipping everything, charging into everything. It's very fitting. But yeah, Eruption tactics beat out all the aggression and showmanship of Apollo.
Mm. Yeah. It's a bit sad that, but yeah, it's sort of the ultimate crux of rumbles, where sometimes you don't need to be going absolutely apeshit on everyone. Sometimes it's best to hang back, especially when there's something on the line, unlike the BattleBots rumbles you'd see, where it was more just an exhibition and a laugh and maybe a bit of a trophy. You're getting in for that last place. So Eruption was more tactical, but Apollo was definitely the more spectacular of a bunch. Mm. Especially with that one where Iron Ore just gets fucking barrel rolled into the air.
Yeah.
All the while Apollo's taking shots left and right center.
There's nothing that makes me happier than seeing Iron Ore get chucked into the air.
Shame it landed on its wheels, eh?
Damn.
Especially because it was a wedge one.
Yeah. A taster of the live scene in the last 10 years. What do you mean the last 10? Fair enough. Apollo would obviously be part of the World Series special. Went up against Deator in its last fight. I don't know whether it was in the first or second fight, but it nearly flipped Sakilalot, which I thought was really funny.
That was its second fight.
It was its second fight. Yeah, oh, that's lovingly. That's quite fitting.
Yeah, I truly believe that they should have swapped the order of the World Series episodes, just simply so that we can at least go out on a decent note rather than an all-time low note. Like, it's just... Apollo's little victory romp. It's fun. There's just a little bit of charm to it. And it's a hell of a lot better than just simply Eruption flipping around a completely weaponless, completely defenseless horizontal spinner for just 3 minutes, or just nothing else happens in a fight that is already a completely foregone conclusion, because, of course, like, the UK team have already got far too many points for the rest of the world team to ever even hope to catch up with.
Mm.
Yeah. Didn't really help as well for World Series, for quite a bundle of them were stock bots as well. So UK machines, it was just UK machines, expect, but like half of the World Series bots or whatever leftovers we had from whatever international teams we had, were literally the stock bots we had left because we've got to melt them down for scrap. Just had Kadiatora Machina, as I keep calling it aptly, and Kafath, which I think was just Arena Cleaner off the top of my head, but just sort of with slight modifications. But yeah, it would have been much better to, I agree, it would have been much better if it was Apollo. It reminded me a bit of Mortis having its last little day in the sun before it just sort of leaves off in a weird sense. Well, give Apollo its time to shine, and then that's it.
Clearly, Apollo left its legacy among all of us, because apart from the usual Brit Flipper comments, which is neither a specific gripe against Apollo specifically, but rather Brit Flippers in the UK as a whole. Like, yeah, a lot of people like Apollo. I like Apollo. You three like Apollo. If you don't, I will force you to like Apollo. And people in other countries like Apollo, so much so that there was a Clashbots robot named Soaring Shell, which
I was running
lovingly like Apollo. So that. Much so that TMAD had to like say, you know, this is fucked up. We didn't give these people permission to make this robot. Like, what the fuck?
That is why we do not talk about Clashbots.
Oh, Clashbots, my beloved.
So, many reasons.
So something that I remember hearing about Soaring Shell is, of course, like, if you look at Apollo, then of course there are those black squares which I do believe serve some sort of purpose on its side.
I think it's a weapon lock, if I remember rightly.
It's something like that. I can't remember exactly what, and I am not going to dive through Discord while I am literally recording a podcast. I'm not that bad just yet. However, on, of course, Soaring Shell, they are just there because of them, and they don't actually serve any kind of purpose.
Mm.
So that kind of gives you an idea of just how much of a rip-off Soaring Shell actually was. It's not a good look.
I think it would be fun before we finish talking Apollo if we all just pick what's our favorite Apollo fight, and I think we should say win, because otherwise Beef's just going to say Behemoth.
Well, I mean, I'm going to go against the grain and go the fight against Storm 2, mainly because it was the Heat final. Storm 2 wasn't particularly good that season. I think there was a house robot flip in that fight as well.
Yes, it flips shunt.
It flips shunt, yeah. And the actual Uta itself was pretty satisfying. Like, flipping it perfectly so it's perfectly positioned to be thrown out, and then throwing it out a second time, and then immediately cutting to the team celebrating like kids who've just been given like £3 pocket money. Like, it was fantastic. It was a lot of fun. And that's that, when I think of Apollo and I think of the essence of the team and the personality of each of the people on that team, I think of that fight in particular.
No, I agree. That's my pick as well. It's one of its cleanest wins. From what I remember, there's relatively few weird technical glitch moments like in the first Storm 2 fight. No, that's a very good choice.
Yeah, I'll say that as well, to be fair. Because fingers, it did sort of flip two house robots in the first one, but it was pretty much more or less fighting the house robots, and it was actually fighting Storm 2, and it still pretty much won that, because Storm 2 was not really doing much of anything. But with that Heat final, you really got to see what Apollo was finally capable of when it was all systems go, essentially. It was just throwing stuff around. Shunt was overturned, and then it got a perfect little wall stack on Storm 2 as well, teeing it perfectly for that Uta.
Perfect. I'll always think of that fight when I think of Apollo, and like, yeah, not to repeat what I've already said, but like, it really does capture the essence of the entire team. If that's that on Apollo, let's talk about the other thing that a former member of the Apollo team has been part of. You know, a cute little thing that's been big buzz in the UK robot combat scene, mainly because it's robot combat on television for the first time in potentially 7 years. So, which is an exciting prospect. It's Mechmania. So Mechmania is a thing that Robots Live are doing. And they managed to get a deal with Mech Plus, and with that they managed to film Robots Live and have it be on telly, which I think is, you know, considering the drought of UK robot combat on TV of the last 7 years, I think this is a very positive start. Like, yeah, okay, it's a sportsman event, and the majority of the competitors, which we'll look at in a second, are Brit flippers, but it's Robot Combat on TV. Like, yeah. Who cares? You know, like, it shouldn't surprise us that, you know, a lot of these teams are, like, short on cash, rehashing a lot of the designs that they made 5 or 10 years ago, and, you know, essentially just being, you know, as cheap and as cheerful as possible. Like, I can understand us wanting more, and especially if you compare it to the endless well of money that BattleBots seems to have, it becomes a bit of an unfair comparison, you know. So the fact that, you know, there are 30 competitors potentially fighting for a heavyweight trophy in the year of our Lord 2024, I'll fucking take it. I don't give a shit. I don't care if half of them are flippers. I'm just happy.
And of course,
go ahead.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And of course, the simple fact is just like, if this does well, if they get enough revenue, they might be able to start upgrading the arena. We could see some more stuff in maybe not the near future, but maybe at some point we could start seeing maybe some spinners thrown in, you know, like,
yeah.
This, like, could be the start of something. It could not be, but I mean, there's no point in, because like, there's no point in just simply writing this off based off a first season.
Yeah, yeah. I think the ultimate thing to like put into consideration is that, like, even if it's not good, even if it's really like not fun to watch at all, like, this is a positive first step. And, you know, what's the phrase? You'll never know until you try. And, you know, Robots Live and Mech Plus are trying, you know, fair exactly. enough to them.
Yeah, any Robot Combat is good in my book, just as long as we're just getting that, especially because it's been 7 years at this point since Robot Wars has died, and about nearly 2 years at this point since we had anything new from BattleBots. I might be going a bit nuts, actually. It's probably 8 months at this point, because BattleBots has sort of been paused at the moment. So Mechmania, perhaps it's the closest thing we get to televised Robot Combat for the time being.
Yeah, we're in a real drought at the moment.
Yeah,
it's a bit depressing, but you know, we'll take anything. We'll take scrapes at the bottom of the barrel. I'll take it. You know, if someone gives me a sandwich and it's only got ham in it and I'm starving to death, I'll take the fucking ham sandwich. The ham sandwich in this case being Mechmania.
Nothing is a little harsh to Mechmania.
It is a bit
scrapes at the bottom of the barrel. Come on now.
Yeah, no,
I say it's like pretty decent BLT, you know?
Yeah, fair enough. You know, I'll receive.
You aren't going to get anything special from it, but it's just reliable, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see where this is going. Because, like, okay, it's a sportsman event, but that doesn't mean there aren't interesting robots.
Yeah.
There's 30 of them. And one of them's got to be interesting. So without further ado, let's have a look. We'll start off with a Danby robot, Horus. Is it Horus or Horus?
It's Horus, I believe.
Depends how the Egyptian gods was called, really. I just called it Horus, because that's what I've always known it to be.
Yeah.
I don't...
Maybe, like, we need to ask Chris Danby.
Yeah, Chris Danby, if you listen to this podcast, tell us specifically how you pronounce your robot, because we're stupid and we don't know how to pronounce it.
Mr. Danby, if you're listening to this podcast, please skip forward 3 minutes after I finish saying my piece about Horus.
You've got things to say about Horus?
Yeah, that's basically it. It's a Danby machine. I'm not expecting big things.
Aww.
Sorry, 20-plus year record.
Listen. You know, the fact that the Danbys are still doing things in 2024, I'll always respect them. You know, if They're keeping it alive.
I can respect the hustle. I'll say that much. I can respect the hustle.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, if it's not Chris Danby, Craig Danby's doing some cool stuff with Slammo at the moment, you know.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's not he's not in Mechmania, so
so that's to Chris to show the world what he can do.
Yeah. It's up to me.
I'll say this. You do have to appreciate the tenacity of the Danby team. For as long as they've gone and for not as much success as they've gotten, they have constantly kept going in spite of constantly having shit go wrong, for lack of a better term.
Mm.
And that's always something you do have to give them some respect for, even if it does constantly sort of keep being the case of, oh, it's not working again. Why is it not working again?
It's clear they fucking love the sport, and I think they obviously want to keep it alive, and have something that is that can be at least make up the numbers, and like that's extremely respectable.
Yeah.
Horus, it's an axe bot and it's the Danby bot, and we'll always love them and respect them. We've got Boltergeist, which I will say, I know it's another axe bot, but I do love the design of it. I think it looks cool.
Does it? They point for trying on the aesthetics, yes. I couldn't find anything on this robot. I think it's newly built.
Mm.
So it is a team that have applied to BattleBots for the last few seasons running. Actually, they've never actually gotten in, but they're
with something similar to this robot, machine.
Wow.
Yeah. Like. So again, I respect the hustle. I need to see an actual robot first. I'm not gonna lie, because we've only ever really seen CADs of it so far.
Yeah.
So I think I'm gonna with my own judgment until I see it in an arena.
Yeah, yeah, it's not Boltergeist, like it looks cool, but I don't know, like it's those forks, they almost look like cam lifters, which I think is hilarious. They probably aren't cam lifters, but imagine a fucking cam lifter in Mechmania.
What could you imagine? Yeah, Boltergeist. It's pretty much one of those where I've got no real bearing as far as actual prowess is concerned. It's pretty much vapor until I actually know what it is, what it's capable of, to say the least.
Well,
which is a bit of a shame because it looks very nice as far as
CAD prints are. Speaking of robots that don't look very nice, everybody, welcome Audacious to the roster.
Quite an old machine, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what to say about this robot.
I have a vague connection to this robot. So it's from Team Ironclads, who are the people who, if you've ever tried to watch NXT Robots event, and of course, you'll probably stumble across these individual uploads of each fight. Like obviously they aren't the best quality in the world, but sometimes it's the best you're going to get, which... that would be from these guys. They are from the Ironclads.
Oh, that's nice. You know what? Fair enough. Like, being able to archive robot combat history, even if it's just live shows and stuff, I respect that. Fair enough.
Yeah. I like that sort of ideology to the Ironclads. Just essentially get it out there regardless of, admittedly regardless of quality, I'm saying that like it's a bad thing. No, it's good. But yeah, I have actually seen Audacious IRL quite a few times at this point. It's one of the first ones I've seen from Robo Nerds, even many times I've gone.
I might have seen it in a Robo Nerd, but probably consciously tried to look away from it.
So, I mean, looking up on it, Audacious is actually it's from 2017. So I kind of assumed just looking at this robot, it was from like 2009 or something. But it's a very classic kind of whack bot. It's got a design that would be very in place in like season 2 BattleBots middleweight tournament.
Yeah,
you know what you're getting with a whack bot.
Reminds me a lot of Gold Digger, if you remember seeing that.
Yes. Essentially,
yeah, I kind of get that vibe. And I am the world's only Gold Digger fan, so honestly, I'm pretty okay with seeing Audacious here.
Yeah, I wish I had more to say about Audacious. I really do. I have a little bit more to say about Jasper, because I actually like Jasper. I think it's an absolutely bonkers machine. And
yeah, so
this version of it looks even more bonkers than the last one.
Right, yeah. So, of course, this was in BattleBots back in 2019. Looks very different now. I don't know what's been changed, to be honest. So, you might have to fill us in on this one, Chris.
Well, I don't know any specifics about that, but like the limited amount of footage I've seen of Jasper in other sportsman competitions, you know, there's this one thing from an Irish competition that they did where they were throwing a fucking fridge up in the air.
Okay, yeah, no, sounds good.
I love stuff like that. I love stuff like that. So I like Jasper, and I like that it's slightly against the grain in the fact that it isn't a flipper. It's more sort of a traditional lifter. But it doesn't look like a sort of useless lifter either. You know, it's sort of more akin to, say, I don't know, like a Solancer frog in the sort of power it's got, you know, like in its sportsman incarnation. Like I like it. I really do. I'm excited to see what it can bring to the table.
Yeah. From what I did watch of this Jasper, yeah, it's quite an interesting little design. The fight I saw of it against like a more traditional flipper, it certainly struggled to actually really get itself righted. It took it quite a while, which probably doesn't augur well in this field of mostly flippers. But hey, it's fun at least.
Yeah. Absolutely, I love fun robots, and Jasper is fun. Speaking of fun,
oh hang on.
Oh, yes, sorry, my bad.
Yeah, I've not even said it. But yeah, I don't really have too much to say because I've not seen this version of Jasper, but it looks like it could be a fairly competent lifter. Mm. I have seen the 2019 version IRL as well. In fact, quite a fair few I've seen, personally. Yeah. That's got to be something I'll repeat a bit, but it looks like it's a fairly competent-looking lifter. Kind of reminds me a bit of sort of an upscale complete control about the lifter, which it is to say.
Mm.
It kind of has that silhouette. But yeah, hopefully it does well.
I hope so too. Shout out to Jasper. Hopefully. Speaking of robots I'd like to do well, we gotta give it to Psy and King B. Shout out to King B. There's not much to say about King B. I love it.
At this point, I think it's been like a good solid, close to a solid decade of being like, ooh, there's King B. They're not gonna do well, but I'm happy for them.
Yeah,
that's the niche they fill, and it's a deserved niche for a robot from, obviously not this design specifically, a robot from 1998.
Yeah, it has been around the block. This thing has fought the best of robot wars, and also the best of across the pond. You know, there's this fight they fought Toro fucking Maximus in Robo Games, I think in 2017 or 18. They got absolutely battered, but the fact that King Buxton has fought, you know, Riobots and their flagship machine is kind of hilarious to me. And you know, that should, if that doesn't give you the context of how long this robot's been around and been a constant in this community, then nothing will. Yeah, I love it. I don't really have much else to say. You can watch everything that King Buxton has done, and you can, you know, form your own opinions. I love it. It's great.
From memory of seeing its more recent incarnations in live events, it's fairly nippy. The lifter on the front is whatever. I mean, if King Buxton is not going to win this thing, let's be very clear about that. But yeah, it's nice to see it around.
I'm holding that against you in case King Buxton does the greatest sweep it's ever done in its career and wins the whole thing.
I've always got to love King Buxton as well, to be honest. It's always been this fairly reliable constant throughout most of Robot Wars to some extent. And
absolutely.
The fact that it's pretty much largely been the same throughout, just a box of lifting spikes throughout most of its incarnations. I'm not sure if the... the funny thing is, I don't remember if the spikes still spin on this version. It might have been removed from King Buxton at this point, but I do remember that little thing where the spikes were also drills. I'm excited to see how King Buxton does. Probably not going to win, but I'm sure it'll absolutely, well, put out some fun matches. Yeah.
Man, fuck you all. King Buxton's going to win the whole thing, and it's not no judge's decision. It's all going to be knockouts. It's going to be the greatest run of Mania history.
Mean like the only run, right?
Yeah, the only run in.
Oh, because he means that they can hold another 80 and then nothing else.
Yeah, and
obviously.
King Buxton will win all of them. Okay.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's fucking
go. Diamond Harrison in his head in like one of those Futurama things in like 2072, still winning.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be like Kent Brockman when he wins the lottery, and he's just like covered in gold, and those will be all the trophies that he won in Mechmania. If no one else has anything to say about King Buxton, we'll go straight ahead to one of the more interesting bots.
I do have something to say about Leviathan. Bit of inside baseball from good friend Tale of the Toaster. This is actually the 2017 version of another competitor in this field, Immersion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't realize that. And suddenly it makes a lot of sense. I already knew it was an Adam Hamilton commission because he has a very specific style that's very striking. I didn't realize it was an older version of Immersion.
Yeah, no. So it's a repainted version. Like it's been on these like I've seen a fair bit throughout the last couple of years. Apparently defeated Terra Hearts fairly recently, like a couple of years ago. So it's not nothing.
It's not nothing. I mean, like
it is not nothing.
Immersion won the Irish competition last year, and it was Taylor the Toaster that drove it. So. You know, it's
yeah,
like,
so yes, like the robot itself has got to be good.
Even if it's an older version, like a design that works in sportsman will work for a very, very long time.
Yeah,
that much is true.
Yeah.
Speaking of designs that have, I would say, this next robot, I would say, is probably one of, if not the most influential robot in this field. Gabriel 2, well, or just Gabriel in general, it's Gabriel 2 for this one. Like, we've all, you know, waxed lyrical about how Huge was based off the design of Gabriel. And you see, you know, other robots with similar wheel styles like Starchild and what's the Tom Brewster Beetleweight called?
Stratus,
that was it. I was like, a lot of them are, you know, I don't know, maybe Tom was thinking about Huge more, but like in turn a lot of it can be traced back to Gabriel, and I'm very happy to see it on this roster. I think it's a fantastic bot. Yeah, I don't really know. I don't have much else to say about Gabriel.
Gabriel's a pretty known quantity by this point.
It's a functioning member.
Yeah.
Presumably it will be one of the most damaging robots in here. I mean, I don't know how it exactly tallies up to the various axes they have, but certainly having that big heavy mace and the momentum it generates. I mean, we've seen several videos by now, obviously in Robot Wars itself, of how footing those impacts are. So,
if people have not seen Gabriel live, it is the loudest robot you will ever hear in your life. Just to be like, when that sword hits the floor, it hits it with so much force. It is unbelievable just how much of a headache this thing fighting can actually give you.
Mm.
Yeah, I like Gabriel too. I think it's going to be one of those machines that might low-key win the whole thing. And It sounds wild to say, but there's a lot of flippers there. And Gabriel's one of those that deliberately hard counts it by its very nature, not to mention that sport's got a hell of a lot of trauma behind it.
The only thing that would give me pause is I may be wrong here, but I don't think Gabriel has ever won any of the Robots Live or Extreme Robots competitions he's participated in. So,
You go ahead. Sorry,
I was going to say, does anyone have anything at all to say about Mako?
I do. I love the fact that it is basically the Lightning team from all those years ago coming back I say new robot, but I think it's a repainted Ironor, if I'm not wrong.
Sorry, Chris, can I just very quickly say, I just very quickly checked, and because it actually turns out Gabriel won the 2016 FRA UK Championships.
So, never mind, my big mouth.
So it's not impossible.
Yes. Do not, if anyone talks shit about Gabriel, they'll hear through me, all right? No, they won't. I don't know. I can't fight anybody.
Officially no longer sleeping on Gabriel.
Or rather, should I say, back to Ironor 8 painted like a shark, because that's what Mako is. It's his essentially Ironor 8 being driven by the old Lightning team. But at least they have made it look a bit prettier.
I will just make an executive decision. Let me just do a quick. There's three Ironors in this competition.
They're all the same column as well, funnily enough.
Yeah, we've got Ironor 8. under the name Mako. We've got Ironor 6, which is just called 6, being run by Team Tilly. And we've got Ironor 5 by Team Ironor. It's Ironor. They've got ugly teeth. They've got flippers. Everyone knows them. If you don't,
So what you're saying is they're stereotypical British machines.
I think they are the blueprint.
They're the blueprint. This is ground zero for the Brit Flipper, these guys, you know.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, I could be pretty positive about most of these entries. Mm-hmm. We did not need three Ironors. It's like,
but to be fair, if you're trying to make a British robot combat scene, you're gonna end up with three Ironors by default.
Yeah,
what do you want? Like a good British robot combat scene. You know, we want something interesting here, and we don't need three Ironors.
Well, if you're low on money,
entire roster right there, taken up by just some Ironors. We don't need that.
It's like when you're a kid and you go to the dentist and the doctor gives you a lollipop at the end of it. The equivalent of that is in the UK scene is, you know, if you run a UK heavyweight competition, you'll get three Ironors, all free.
What annoys me about Ironor as well is the name scheme as well, because I'm pretty sure it's just all over the fucking place off the top of my head. Even when you go back to Robot Wars, it was one, then whatever the hell Axor was, 2.1, because I guess that isn't actually a proper thing.
When they got to the live scene, they calmed it down. I mean, I will say Ironor 5, we're talking about veterans. Ironor 5 dates back to 2005, and that thing's still out here.
Yeah, that, I mean, it looks like it came out of 2005.
Is, of course, that it still does pretty well. I think I think that's what's worse about Ironor 5.
Not hard to fuck up a Brit Flipper.
Yeah, especially in a sportsman competition. Especially in a sportsman competition, you know, it's like
optimal ground game does.
Yeah, I don't think there's much else to say about Ironor that I can think of. I don't want to think about Ironor too much because it makes me sick. They're always here. No matter what happens, they're always going
to
be
just
here.
Just to the audience, just keep your eye out for them. We roll Ironor on Bot of the Week and have to dedicate the entire episode to cover it.
We'll make sure Zasa comes on for that one because he's.
That'll be fun.
It'll be hilarious. I like the look of Drive-By. I like the look of it. Like, okay, all we have is a CAD. It's a Team Tilly bot, but, you know, it's sort of akin to Whiplash. And you know how good of a control bot Whiplash has been over the years. If we're getting a Whiplash-esque robot in a UK sportsman competition, I have a feeling it might do really well. Again, I don't know how fast it is. I don't know how...
level of infused, because Whiplash-esque... Yes, Whiplash-esque does not equal Whiplash, but no, I do like the look of it. I do like the look of it. It looks like a fun little control bot. Quite low, kind of low profile. I like the look of it.
I will say, I have seen the Featherweight's Drive-By fight in RoboNerd competitions, and it is very fun to watch. I know it won the 2021 one off the top of my head as well, outright.
Right,
very fast,
yeah.
Very nippy. And if we go by that, Drive-By could be one of those standout ones. But of course, we haven't got a heavyweight version of it to compare yet. So we're just sort of waiting and seeing, aren't we?
Mm. Right, yeah. So of course, like, I actually used to compete in, of course, some of those featherweight competitions. Like, I've seen Drive-By firsthand a fair bit. It is a very good robot. It's always like in the top four. Of course, like, it has won quite a few Robo Dojo sportsman competitions. It is quite a decorated featherweight. And of course, like, assuming that it works as it should right out of the gates here, I think it is my dark horse to take the entire thing.
Yeah. That wouldn't surprise me. And that was my thought as well. Like,
that is my ballsy prediction for this. Drive-By Drive-By could just take it all.
Yeah. I we'll have to see. And I am excited for Drive-By. Thunderchild, not by Nate Franklin, but by Team Ironclad, is here. Thunderchild's been around for a while, you know.
2015 debut. I think it was meant to enter into Series 8, Robot was.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. So it's a pretty common fixture on the live circuit. I couldn't find any major victories, but like, it's just kind of a comforting background presence, if you get what I mean.
It's there to pad out the roster.
Mm-hmm.
In the nicest way possible. Yeah.
We love. I like Thunderchild. I like the look of it. It looks like an army robot from the Robot Wars Army special in a different universe.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It does as well, doesn't it?
I like the sort of minimalist navy aesthetic that it has. That's all I really have to say about it.
Yeah, most of Team Ironclad's bots are named after British Navy ships. I was wondering if there was a ship called the Thunderchild, but apparently not.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, not much to say really about Thunderchild as far as I'm concerned. It's sort of one of those of really stalwart of a scene as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't really sort of go away. It's just constantly there.
Mm. I'm going to make another executive decision. Because I don't want this to go on for too long. We're going to go through all the flippers that we haven't mentioned yet, with a few exceptions, because obviously I want to. There are a few that I want to talk about a bit more. Because we've got a lot of Brit flippers, as you would expect. We've got TR4, which is the fourth incarnation of the Toon Raider robots. We've got Tectonic, which is a Team Shock robot. They had Aftershock and Shockwave in the reboot. We have Manta. No, not the Nick Dobrikov robot, but the...
Not one of the five other robots named Manta.
Yeah, in like three different eras of the sport. Another Team Shock robot, Manta. I like Manta. I always like the look of Manta. We've got No Toy or Notoy. I don't really know what else. I don't really know much about this.
I tried looking this team up, and I couldn't find a lot.
The name is reversed for Yotun.
Okay, yeah, so this one I can.
I'm sorry.
Give quite a bit of stuff on actually. Okay, so This robot started life as actually Seros 2.
Really?
Yes.
Well, hang on, is this Rusty? Is this Rusty?
No. It isn't Rusty, don't worry. So it was sold on, so as far as I could tell, it was sold on eBay in 2013, and it was picked up by the Team Outlaw guys, which one it was completed, and it was ran as the robot Yotam. As Yotam, it would do pretty well in, of course, like some of the UK championships. It got fourth twice in a row. And of course, now it's coming to here. Of course, like, and it's being called No Toy, apparently because a panel had been cut backwards somehow.
I love that.
It's almost got a lot more history than you would think, but
that's funny.
Just let's complain.
We've got Toxic 2 as well. Toxic's been around for donkey's years now.
Another failed entrance into Series 8.
it was in the pilot, though.
Yeah, it counts as a Robot Wars competitor, even if we've still not seen the pilot yet.
Yeah, it was in the pilot that no one will ever see.
Sad times.
Sad times. We've got Dystopia, which is a Garfy robot.
Garfy.
Already obvious by the red and blue police car-esque livery that a lot of Garfy's robots have. And we've got Mega Mouse, which is another robot that's been around for donkey's years. Whether it will do any decently is up to you.
I did see a video of them being, I can't remember which one, but it was a fairly accomplished flipper. Gosh, I wish I could remember which one.
Might it be Ripper? Cool.
I'm sure they've beaten Ripper. I mean, to be fair, Mega Mouse is... it was Manta. They've defeated Manta last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of rollover shape must make them very annoying to...
Yeah. Defeat. I mean, like, even in its earlier incarnation in Series 6, like, okay, it did get flipped out of the arena by Dan Tomkia, but it didn't look easy. I'll tell you that much.
No, it's just it's a slippery little thing.
Mega I mean... The name is fitting. We haven't got many others left.
Very quickly on TR4, I know we're skipping it, but yes, from the video worries. I saw, it looks like their flipper finally had some power to it, which was very nice to see after Series 8 TR2.
Good for them. Fair enough. I'd like to see this thing throw robots in the air.
Let's hope it does.
Whew, fingers crossed. I will quickly get through the two Team Ballistics robots, Teresa Mayhem and Donald Thump. Do they not realize it's 2024?
Teresa May is no longer in Parliament.
Yeah. Why not Rishi Sunak or Keir Harmer or I don't know. What pun can you make with Joe Biden?
To be fair to Team Ballistics, Donald Trump unfortunately still very, very relevant. But yes, I agree. Keir Harmer for instead of Theresa Mayhem, it could work.
Yeah. We can make your nicknames for the next 20 years, Ballistics. Come on. Keep up.
No, Donald Trump is notable as the only air spinner in this, and
spinner air quotes.
Did they have a different setup for Sportsman? Everything I saw online was them with the spinner, albeit in Extreme Robots. So
we don't know the simple fact. In its kind of like announcement trailer, its weapon was listed as other, so we have absolutely no idea. My hopeful prediction is that the spinner is going to be being used as like a rotary lifter. But I feel like in my heart of hearts, it's just going to be like plain Rambot.
Part of me feels like Donald Trump's just going to have a saw blade or something low power. Because I don't think you can really sort of do major damage with a saw blade unless you're like Pussycat and end up getting yourself thrown out. But I don't know.
it'll be interesting to see what they've done for Donald Trump. It might be nothing, and they might just not have the spinner work at all. But we'll see. Now for the robots that I think are a bit more interesting. Well, firstly, we've got Oblivion, which is by Collingwood College. And if I remember correctly, they were in Series 10 with Traction?
Yep. Yes.
Oblivion is a rebuilt Steel SA2 or Steel Avenger 2. The Steel Avenger, which was intended for Series 7 all the way back then. It is rebuilt from its chassis. I saw a video. It didn't look that great, probably because Steel Avenger 2 was built 21 years ago. But
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no worries. I always like to see Oblivion, just because it's great to see a bot that was conceptualized finally get in, even if it's sort of one of those development hell type things. You know, the ones where they just sort of make the thing, realize, oh shit, we've not got much left, and then they just sort of threw it onto someone else, and now it's just been Hollywood College's problem. But I'm excited to see how this not Steel Avenger 2 ends up performing. Probably not going to be too well, but hey.
I'm just fucking happy that these kids who were on Robot Wars all those years ago are now in college and are a part of a team again for Mechmania. But it's also kind of terrifying that these kids are now old enough to be in college.
Is it the same kids? Because I would assume by now they'd be in university.
Yeah, no, I was assuming.
I'm assuming it's just another team from the college.
Yeah.
If it is, then I retract my statement. But if it's the same team and they're in university or college age, then I don't want to think about the passage of time ever again.
That's a good quote to end on the Steel Avenger 2.
Yeah, entry, Steel Avenger 2. I don't want to think about the passage of time ever again.
Chris Speaking Cook. Of the passage of time, we also have Behemoth returning once again. Of course, I did say this earlier, but of course, like, this is my personal favorite combat robot, of all time, and it's so nice. I mean, it's still kicking.
You wouldn't. If you're bringing UK heavyweight robot combat to the TV in 2024, it wouldn't be right without BMF.
Yeah, absolutely.
Too much of a staple.
Absolutely, like. You know, Behemoth has always been the ultimate punching above its weight robot, and Anthony Pritchard, despite all of the setbacks this robot has had, still here, still doing stuff, still kicking butt with essentially a 25-year-old machine, and a 25-year-old design. It's the same. It's like King Buxton and Behemoth. The fact that both teams, all these years later, are still kicking, are still generally, like, in terms of its shape, roughly the same robot. It makes me so happy because I don't give a fuck if we see Behemoth in this sport 50 years later with a 104-year-old Anthony Pritchard. I will always be there and I will always have time for it.
Yeah, Behemoth's always that iconic machine. It's never the most iconic outright, but it's always one that puts in the work, so to speak.
Yes.
It's always just sort of fighting on no matter what. And yeah, I think, I suppose there's three things in life: death, taxes, and Behemoth constantly popping up into robot combat.
Yeah. I love it. I'll always love it. And the fact that it's here in the year of our Lord 2024, I salute it. Yeah, Behemoth, the goat. Behemoth. Immersion. It's Leviathan, but newer.
So this Immersion had Abrasion actually fought during 2020 over in the USA. This is what we basically would have seen. This is basically Abrasion.
Yeah.
Once again, knowledge gains from Tale of the Toaster. So shout out to Tale of the Toaster.
Very high quality sportsman bot from everything I've seen of it. I mean, yes, well driven, very low to the ground. It's got that nice, it's got that kind of, I don't know how you describe it really, kind of rear liftery. I really don't know how you describe the weaponry, but it's quite adept at bowling robots over without having to use a powerful gas, half a gas ball to do it.
I always call them sort of snake-like lifters.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like I sort of have it half Firestorm, half Sewer Snake.
Yeah,
but it's blue. Bluer Snake. Hey, you hear that, Tale of the Toaster? That's the name of your bot now.
Well,
we decided it's no longer called Immersion. It's called Bluer Snake, and you can't do anything about it. We've made the decision right here. Apart from Drive By. I think Immersion it would be my other choice for winning the whole thing. Okay, there's a lot of flippers and they're going to have ridiculous gas bottle power, but Immersion, it's driven so fucking well. There's a reason why it won that sportsman competition in Ireland. It's a fucking good robot and it's got modern ground game. It's driven like a modern battle bot and it's going to be hard to, you know, get under it. It's going to be hard to go against it.
I would bet in any kind of like long battle that goes to the judges, I would bet on Immersion. I'd say its main risk here is if something can just ooter it. But
yeah. And that's always going to be the big risk for the non-flippers really, you know. The walls are going to be so short that anything could probably get thrown out.
Immersion, I'm pretty sure, could have a fairly good shot of things because it's one of those that's very expertly driven no matter what it goes up against. And I feel like it's just going to bully a lot of machines around. It's just all about if it doesn't get sort of blindsided at any point, which it's very stout and wide. I don't think it will. I'm sure it'll do well.
Yeah. I feel like Immersion is a shoo-in for the finals at the absolute least, if not winning the entire thing. Like, it's definitely one of my picks to win.
That feels like a safe bet, yes.
I would like to, if it's not too much trouble, go through the three axe bots that are next on our list, all in quick succession. We've got Team Eruption's own Implosion, and then we've got Thunderbolt. I don't really know much about these robots. All I know is Implosion has been an extreme robot staple for a while, but I don't really know much about Thunderbolt and Apocalypse.
Yeah, so Apocalypse is an evolution of Apocalypse from Series 10. Thunderbolt, I've not really seen much from the team before. I mean, from watching it, Apocalypse and Thunderbolt just kind of, honestly, just kind of made axe bots. Implosion's... Go on.
So I know that Thunderbolt, they kind of like out-axed Terahertz a couple of years back. So it's clearly got something going.
I guess Terahertz is... Depends how many years ago, though, because I guess Terahertz now, I don't know how regularly it's upkept.
Let's say it was 2022.
That's a pretty old machine by now.
Yeah.
I like Thunderbolt for what it's worth. I've seen it real life. That axe is fucking beefy. It's a heavy thing. It does remind me sort of like Beta in the way it's constructed, just more front heavy than Beta is, where it's just a giant bulwark of armor.
I was just gonna say, I did notice when I was watching, it certainly hit with some oomph. The thing that kind of worries me about Thunderbolt is its wedge did not seem flush to the ground at all.
Apocalypse. I've not seen much of version 2 Apocalypse, but I know it's come a long way from the version 1 where it was essentially a time bomb, if I remember rightly. The only one I don't really know of a bunch is Implosion, but apparently it's an extreme robot staple, and it does look all business at least, so...
Yeah, no, I think it's a safe bet to do pretty well if it's a Team Eruption joint.
It looks the part. You know, you can't go wrong with the aesthetic of it. But those are the three axe bots. I've specifically left these last two, three for last because they're all interesting in their own way. The first on that list is possibly, I say possibly, it is the most accomplished robot in this field. It's Eruption. It's the Series 10 champion of Robot Wars. It's possibly the winner of the greatest final Robot Wars has ever had, and may ever will have, because I don't see the show coming back. It's Eruption. There's not now much to say about Eruption. It speaks for itself, really.
One thing interesting about Eruption is I had to, so in anticipation of this episode, I did a little research because given how long ago Robot Wars was, I was like, okay, is it still that guy? And it appears it won some live championships as of last year. So yes, Eruption is still very much that guy. Yeah, I mean, it's powerful flipper, expertly driven, incredibly well proven at this point. I assume it would be one of the favorites to win the entire competition.
You go ahead.
Yeah, I'm putting good money that Eruption will be finals at worst. I don't have much more to say beyond the fact I find it funny that one of the last card models I did back when was actually of Eruption in its Series 8 guise, if I remember rightly, and then I just stopped. So it does hold a bit of, I guess, sentimentality to me in a weird sense.
Yeah.
Like what I was sort of making a little card model stick about with. I don't really have much more to say beyond that. It's just reliable and effective.
Yeah, so I've seen this take a few times, kind of just like around, and I think I do agree with it. Just that I hope Eruption, Iron or Toxic, whatever, I kind of hope that they don't end up winning Mech Mania, because it would just be nice if something a bit newer won, just so that we can have some kind of like evolution. Because if Nihilor wins it, if Eruption wins it, if Toxic 2 wins it, that's just another year where just we're not going to see some actual evolution in, of course, like our heavyweight scene, which has been stagnant for so long now. And it would just be nice to not have to deal with that for another year.
It's going to be hard, though. It's going to be hard having Eruption in the squad.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I'm at the very least, see how it goes, but
at the very least, you can hope that they kind of knock each other off.
Yeah.
I
hope that the final two isn't just two Iron Ores fighting each other, because that's genuinely the worst case scenario for me.
That is the worst case scenario, isn't it?
That's the death of the sport right there.
Yeah, like, yeah. A semi-final of Iron Ore 5, 6, Mako, and Teresa Mayhem.
Okay, so can we move on to something that, of course, makes me very happy about this?
Absolutely we can!
Because that is the fact that the two-headed Deathflamingo is coming to
Mech Mania. Yes!
I couldn't be happier about this.
Is this possibly the most popular robot never to be in Robot Wars?
Oh, yeah.
I'd say so.
I think it's up there.
It's got to be. Like, two-headed Deathflamingo for... If you're completely new to the UK live scene, or, like, don't have any context of UK combat robotics, two-headed Deathflamingo has been around in the live scene for quite a while. I think it applied for Robot Wars but didn't get in, or was a reserve or something like that. It's built by Craig Croucher, who is one of the people involved in Bristol Bot Builders, which is I'd say the premier UK robot combat non-heavyweight company. They do regular beta weight competitions and featherweight sportsman competitions and antweight competitions throughout the year, and you know, they are very much responsible for my rekindling of getting back into this sport again post COVID. Because I remember watching all those BBB competitions, because Joe had edited all of them and put them on YouTube. And I was like, oh, I'm going to watch all of them. So Two-Headed Deathflamingo represents a lot within the community. Even if the, like, it might not be the most effective robot, but it like, in terms of symbolically, it is a very important robot in the UK scene. And yeah, the fact that it's here right now makes me very happy.
I think for Two-Headed Deathflamingo, because if I remember correctly, I believe it did apply for one of the BattleBot seasons.
Yes, I remember.
I think this kind of sportsman live event is the perfect avenue for Two-Headed Deathflamingo, because
yes,
I wouldn't rate its chances against, certainly not in BattleBots, against like at like full on spinners or anything.
Yeah.
But this kind of sportsman event where it can kind of parlay its kind of controlling and like kind of, yeah, it's kind of controlling game. I think it's a perfect kind of avenue for Two-Headed Deathflamingo.
It's perfect.
So Two-Headed Deathflamingo. Without Two-Headed it's one of my all-time favorites, and simply for the fact that Craig Croucher, he's sort of the main reason I ended up in RoboNerd in the first place, and the reason why I was sort of around from 2019 onwards. Okay, granted, I wasn't sort of very talkative. I'm very shy, admittedly, but without that, I wouldn't have been sort of, well, I guess more outgoing, I guess. Mm. And I think because of that, Two-Headed Deathflamingo, I suppose it's become one of my all-time favorites. And I do love the design as well. It's one of those that looks sort of oddly inefficient and wild, but it's actually a surprising killer. It actually beat Eruption at one point, not even by judge's decision. It beat it by straight up KO.
Oh,
it
is,
I think I'm yeah, not hearing about that, yeah.
Stop spoiling Mechmania for us. God damn it.
I am not a clairvoyant, unfortunately. If I am.
Yeah, wonderful little machine. Then we kind of finish. Did anyone else have anything else to say about Two-Headed Deathflamingo? Because I have a lot to say about this next bot.
I will just start waxing lyrical about Flamingo and saying like how important Craig is to the live scene and BBB as a whole, without actually talking about the robot. So I'll leave it there for me.
Okay, Storm 2. So,
well, that's all the Mechmania, people. Thank you for watching. No, I'm kidding.
No, Storm 2. So the original incarnation of Storm 2, genuinely one of my favorite machines of all time. It is pure dynamism, pure energy, just force. And then seeing what it's become, seeing what it became in 2016, this slow lump. I mean, I think it's technically faster than, I think it was technically faster than the original series, but it certainly didn't seem it. This slow lumbering wedge bot, the barely qualified, I think, barely qualified as not a wedge bot on like a technicality. I mean, I remember one of Roski, I think one of the BattleBots guys, said it was the most boring machine they'd ever seen. Leave La Machine out of your mouth when you're talking about 2016 Storm 2. No, seeing this thing 8 years later is going to be dreadfully sad. I'm sure it's going to be as slow. I'd be loved to be proven wrong, Mr. Hoppit. Please prove me wrong. But if it's the same thing we saw in 2016, I am wishing a very quick UTA.
Yeah, Storm 2 is one of those things, but yeah.
From what I am aware, it has been said that it should be more like its Series 7 incarnation.
Blessed be the Lord, if that is the case.
Yeah, I hope so as well, but
don't disappoint me, Mr. Hoppit.
Storm 2 is one of those machines that's hard to really talk about because it's pretty much one of those mired through controversy, as Wiz is to say, but I think this one, I feel like it's going to be a bit out of its prime at this point. Mm. In fact, I'd say it already pretty much is. I do hope I'm proven wrong. I do hope it's the same blitzy machine that smashed machines out of the arena in Series 7. But I don't know. I'm not too convinced in Storm 2. I just think it's going to be largely a slow, lumbering, hard to get under, but that just sort of wins for attrition. So Voltronic, basically.
Hey.
And of course, as we know, it is coming in with a very high target on its back because, of course, it is the reigning world champion. So, of course, it's got to back up in some form, surely.
Good God.
Sorry. I just had to get it in somewhere.
I'm gonna jump out of my fucking window.
Oh no, I've killed Chris.
Storm 2 is a robot that will be participating in Mech Mania. That's all I have to say about it.
Yeah.
All right. Wonderful.
All right. So let's do a quick fire. Who's going to win Mech Mania? We'll start with me. I think it's going to be Drive By. Luke, who do you think is going to win it?
Okay, I'll say Immersion.
Beav, who's going to win it?
Oh, okay. You're taking both my choices. Okay, I am going to say, in the interest of...
You can choose the same.
Just in the interest of saying something different, I am going to say Gabriel.
Okay. Dude.
The grim reality is I don't want to say Iron Ore, so I'm just going to... I think, sadly, it might just be... I say sadly. Why am I trying to say it so depressingly? It's probably got to be Eruption is my best pick, because it's one of those that's just generally reliable all around. But I am putting other bets to Immersion and... what's the other one I was going to pick? Drive-By. But that's if Drive-By is sort of as good as its featherweight version is.
I can't wait to see this in the final when Theresa Mayhem wins the whole thing.
I am planning to actually go to the final, like hopefully it's like the final show. So I'll see it live. You know, I will.
Can you be our reporter on the ground?
Yeah,
provide the live commentary.
Right, I will absolutely be there. When Audacious Snipes Eruption's link to win the entire thing, okay? I will be there. I can promise all of our dear viewers, I will be there.
Welcome to Chattelbots, where Beav starts another Links versus Switches debate.
what have you done? No.
So we have put in...
Wait, no, Chris. It's okay, because we are all British. It's fine. We are safe this episode.
It's fine. Yeah, no, we can just stay in our lane. Stay in our lane.
We've put in quite the shift on the Mech Mania. Do we want to just blow through? Do we just want to get through the next section quite quickly?
Yeah, I think we can get through it quite quickly because we're not talking about the history of these bots. We're just talking about how cool they are because it's the cool wall. It's a segment that we just fucking ripped off Top Gear. So I guess we've got Sub-Zero, very cool. Not cool, uncool, seriously uncool. We'll just sort of give it a sort of basic thing like that. We have six robots, three from Robot Wars and three from BattleBots. And we're going to decide whether they're cool or uncool, because that's how the cool wall works. Have you ever seen Top Gear? If you haven't, go watch Top Gear.
All of it. You got to watch all of it.
Even classic Top Gear, where they didn't have the cool wall.
Shit, you can't even watch anymore.
Yeah. And Top Gear USA. Make sure to watch that as well.
You've also got to watch Fifth Gear as well.
All right. We'll quick fire this. We'll start off with German champions. I think they're German champions. Black Hole.
Pretty cool. They're cool.
Yeah, definitely cool.
They're not Sub-Zero, but they are cool.
Mm-hmm. I think I agree. Because it's got a face on it, and it's got discs on it, and it's wedgy.
I don't know. Yeah. I think that face feels a little bit too try hard almost.
No.
It's 2000s edgy, but it kind of works.
I like it. I think it looks silly. It looks like something out of fucking Gregory Horror Show. Like, it's cute. That's a bit of a deep cut, that one. So do we all agree? Shall we just agree that it's cool? Black Hole is cool.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
I can agree with it.
Black Hole is cool. Now, our next robot, it's Tiberius. There's a lot of Tiberius.
Which one?
I'm going to give it... Well, I'd say the incarnation from 5 to 7, because they're similar enough. That sort of.
I like Tiberius. It's definitely fairly
curvy looking thing.
Is there a mid option? Can I say mid?
But that's just not sure. Cool, right?
Yeah, cool. You could say not cool.
I think I put it in cool myself. I kind of like how like kind of bulky it is. I think it goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think it's very cool. I think it's very cool. Like I would say it is the coolest of the Razer clones. It's not obviously not Razer, but it's. I like how it looks. I think it has a sort of, I wouldn't say steampunk, but more like a, sort of slightly industrial aesthetic to it. And I think that looks nice. And also Sam Smith was in it, so, you know, can't go wrong with that.
I'm happy to put it in cool as well. It's got that distinctive bulky look that makes a difference to what Razer is. Razer's that sleek, precision-made machine, and Tiberius is more of a clunker that's old reliable, but it's still able to put on a good show, and indeed it did put on quite a few good shows.
Yeah.
When the Crusher form, anyway.
Yeah, and it made a good show while it was tumbling into the pit against them too. Yeah, it's a good robot, and it looks cool. I'll do five, so it'll be seriously uncool, not cool, cool, very cool, sub-zero. So let's say, do we want to say cool for Tiberius?
Yeah, I think I can say cool.
Now, Scutter's Revenge.
Seriously uncool.
Seriously uncool?
Oh, really?
What are you
fuck
on?
You. What the fuck? Explain yourself.
You can't be Oliver Remy Idris like that. Come on now.
Oliver Remy, I swear it's nothing personal. No, it may just be my kind of latent dislike of the Scudder machines talking, but come on, this thing basically didn't even win. It's big. I guess the kind of the shield on the front's kind of aesthetic. I'll give it, it's aesthetically cool. I'll give it that. But this thing is a clunker.
Like, mate, like I just want to say, like, it isn't about the quality, it is about the vibe.
It's right? Vibe. That is it's what vibe. And it gives me a bad vibe.
Oh, I don't know about that. Out of all the scutters
that have ever scuttered in Robot Wars, I think this is the coolest scutter. I think the theming is nice.
I wouldn't say it's the coolest scutter, but I think it goes into just uncool. I don't think the like colors really work that well, but I do like the shields, and I kind of like the Red Dwarf references. Mm-hmm. I think I could put it into uncool and be quite happy with that.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm admittedly fine with uncool too, to be fair. It does look kind of, I guess, pug-like in a weird sense. It looks like it's got too much of a flat face on it. As
I hate
it is to say.
I hate all of you. I hate all of you.
Sorry.
I can't believe how I would have put it in sub-zero. I'm deadly
Jesus
serious about
Lord.
That.
Good,
I love
really.
It. I love, fuck you. This is a fantastic.
You invited us on just like onto this podcast, mate. I don't know what you're complaining about.
I will put it in uncool, but sleep with one eye open, all of you.
You would be nothing revenge. Without us. You would be nothing without us, Chris.
What did Oloremi say? What did Oloremi Idris say? Judgment Day's coming. Okay.
Oloremi Idris. Oloremi Idris. Sub-zero. That man
so,
is sub-zero.
Yeah, he himself
is
sub-zero.
Sub-zero.
Okay,
so
I can accept that.
Oloremi Idris is going to bring about the fucking rupture on us.
Yeah, no. Judgment Day's coming. And
that's fine.
Listen.
Yeah.
Scott's Revenge will have its day. Maybe not today, but another day.
Oh, it's another place in hell then.
Now we've got to go to the battle bots, bots. Bots, bots, battle, battle, bots, bots, bots. We're going to start off with the one that I think we're all going to unanimously agree on. It's your boy, Rusty.
I'm gonna say cool, because that Rusty's appeal mostly doesn't actually... Rusty has a different appeal to being cool, really. It's a silly little guy.
That's why I kind of want to say it might be uncool, just because it's not meant to be cool.
Yeah, I think I can agree with that.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't know if I want to say seriously uncool, though, because I feel like...
That's too... Once you get seriously uncool, you're saying something sucks shit.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, Yeah, like, that isn't Rusty. Like, Rusty has a bit of coolness in of course, the same way that your dad has, like, some coolness about him.
Yeah.
You know?
I am happy to put Rusty in sort of cool, uncool tier. A part of me is also just because it's sort of ended up kind of vaporware as well at a certain point. The 2020 version, I'm happy to put cool. 2021's version, which was meant to fight, I'm probably saying uncool because the charm's just sort of worn off at this point. It's not really that goofy little bot that could. It's just more trying to be all serious and tough and shit, and it's not really working out as much as you'd think.
Yeah, it's not really... Yeah, like, it's lost its charm. I'm kind of starting to run back on it now. It could be in seriously uncool.
Wow. So what's the I like, I think it's cool. I like the World Championship 7 incarnation in particular. I like the novelty of the fact that it's a bit of a shitbox in modern BattleBots times. Which I think is a nice little novelty, but damn, maybe people don't unanimously agree with me at all. So what's the general consensus? Like, what are we saying?
I think uncool. I think we're going uncool.
You're all miserable sods. I swear to God.
We're British. We can't help it, mate.
Fair enough. I should have known this. I'm British myself. I pretend not to think about that. next one. It's Rex.
Sub-Zero.
Sub-Zero. Sub-Zero. Bro, you miserable bastard. It's clearly in Sub-Zero.
It is Sub-Zero. It's such a cool fucking thing.
Shambling along like that on those hot, creepy little silver legs. Oh, gives me the willies, man.
No, it's beautiful. Fuck's sake. Rex is like watching a small baby slowly learn how to walk.
Yeah, and that's Sub-Zero.
And I love that. You know how excited parents get seeing their little kids starting to walk? That's how I feel about Rex, you know. And I'll always love it. And so we've got two people saying Sub-Zero. Dude, did you say Sub-Zero or did you say uncool? What are you saying?
I was the one that said Sub-Zero. It's one of those bots you've never really seen replicated before in the heavyweight level. It's the only gyro walker that's ever really been in robot combat at the heavyweight level anyway. So very unique factor alone sort of helps it.
I think this averages out to very cool then.
I think if it wasn't for its one-hit KOing Witch Doctor, then it would be like quite a bit worse off. But I think just like the sheer power of its disc, that is what makes it Sub-Zero. Just in it being the goofiest, just like the weirdest thing you have ever seen, but then it just slaps the shit out of just one of the most like
it's more impressive how lightweight the weapon is as well. Off the top of my head, it's like 30 pounds, isn't it? Sorry.
Yeah.
I am now imagining if like Mike Tyson was bow-legged but still did the same things. Alright, I see the appeal. I'm not going up to Sub-Zero though.
Well, fuck you. I run the podcast. I am going.
I think it's averaging out too anyway. So
fine, I'll average it out to very cool.
Don't give in to him. Don't give in to him. Let some positivity in this world, Chris. Put it in Sub-Zero.
You know what? You know what? You're right. You're right. It's going in Sub-Zero. Fuck you, Luke.
I'm glad Rex finally won something. I'm glad it finally won something.
Yeah! Zach and Diana, don't give up. Make that Rex bot and fucking do your best.
We love you, Zach and Diana.
We love you, Zach and Diana. Get us on the builder blog.
BattleBots officially loves Zach and Diana.
Yeah, we are Zach and Diana fans. Okay, there's one more robot.
Very cool La Machine.
It's La Machine.
La Machine, very cool.
How the fuck can you call La Machine very cool?
I love a good Rambot.
La Machine.
This was the first one, so
La Machine whether you like it or not, ruined Robot Combat forever.
What's cooler than that?
It introduced the wedge. Yeah, no, that is very cool. It is the epitome of the ground game. It is the blueprint of the ground game. It is everything that teams, even in the year of our Lord 2024, have been debating about and talking about and analyzing in every single way possible. And it was these two fuckers, Trey Roski and Greg Monson, who created this silver sleek machine.
Am I tripping?
I love them both, but I have to put it in uncool.
Am I tripping, or was La Machine basically a middleweight?
Yes, it was originally a middleweight.
A middleweight that bullied all the heavyweights anyway. That's goated.
Yeah, that is goated. It did the heavyweight rumble, and it beat everybody. Yeah, and everyone in the crowd was going, La Machine, La Machine, La Machine. It's insane.
That is insane all over, man. It had all over.
To be honest, it's pretty cool. Like, something rising out of us to just slap the crap out of everything that is so much heavier, so much bigger than it. That is pretty cool. I'm going to have to put La Machine in cool.
Fair enough.
I'm convinced.
So, do we want to say cool?
Yeah, I'm happy.
I think
we
want to say cool.
La Machine is cool, but Rex isn't, according to Luke. Yeah, we fucking did it, Reddit. We did it. We have finished another episode of Chattlebots. If you listen to the end, thank you very much. I'm so sorry you had to deal with this, but I'm also not. If you liked this podcast, subscribe to CJC. If you didn't like this podcast, subscribe to CJC. If you are impartial of this podcast, subscribe to CJC. And the next episode of Chattlebots will be whenever it comes out, basically every 2 weeks. That's the idea anyway. CJC out. I've been Chris. They've been Luke, Beav, and Doot. And we will see you next time.
So long.
Bye.
See you around.